Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of the Senseless and Scentless Podcast. I am your boy, MC Sin, a.k.a. DJ Boom, a.k.a. Big Shiz. What up, it's Sean, and this is the friendly neighbor, Shane Harper.
Looking for the fun in the
sun. Talk to the people, Shane. You're going to have to speak up a little bit.
Yeah, well, first day of the day. Let's get her done. We'll try it out, and we'll see how it goes. Not sure where it'll go, but...
Jim is just saying, oh, by the way, big up, T-Dot. Raptors pulling off another huge game tonight.
Fuck yeah.
Date today for anyone tuning in is Friday, May 24th, but that's only because it's after midnight. It's actually late Thursday. Raptors with the big win. I believe it was 105-99. To me, the story was watching that third quarter, Raptors start to fall apart a little bit. Lowry, okay. Now, just so listeners, potential listeners, hopefully if you're listening, full disclosure, haven't been a huge basketball fan my whole life. Really started tuning in when Raptors went on this run because they're Canadian and I like to promote anything Canadian that's doing well. I'm patriotic to a certain degree that way. But honestly, got my attention, hair standing up on my arms. I got a room full of people who are watching on a 100-inch projector. And basketball's never been something I've been into. And I got to tell you, Shane, it had my full attention.
All night, man. We were all jumping up. Every three-point, every dash into the rim, everything was going beauty. But yeah, back to Lowry, like, damn. Needs to get some more points on the board. All those threes he kept missing down in the third quarter.
And what did I count? Like five in a row?
Yeah, five in a row that were just a few weren't even close. And this guy has got to definitely pick it up.
I was wondering
17 points for the game with seven rebounds.
Is that what he ended up
with? Yeah.
Good luck on the production there, by the way. 17 points. I remember after the third quarter, they said he only had 14 points. Now, I'm telling you, I saw him almost airball three of those fucking 5 3-point misses. And at some point, it dawned on me, you know, it caught up in the madness of this game, that they stopped throwing him the ball. Did you notice that?
And yeah, near the end of the game, he started to become the playmaker of the game, which is exactly what they should be doing in that standpoint. Somebody's not making those fucking points or those shots. You make him the catch and grab, so to speak. You know, he's the one taking in the people, thinking he's gonna shoot, and then he's gotta pass it out to somebody who can't make those shots for the game.
Oh well, I'll tell you who came up big was excuse me, because like I said, I'm new to the whole basketball, being a huge fan, which they won me over. But I believe it's Kawhi Leonard. Either way, Leonard, come on, carried the team through that fourth quarter. And that dead stare, you know, just the composure of that Toronto Raptors team in the fourth quarter. We're all here, 6 minutes left on the clock, fourth quarter. Toronto sitting on a 5-point lead, I believe. And everyone reminding ourselves to not be overconfident in that moment. 6 minutes is so much time left on the
floor. So much time in basketball.
So much
time. I'm new to basketball, too. I know a little bit here and there, but yeah, the 6 minutes left, it was a tight game from that point on right till the end. That fourth quarter was key.
Leonard so composed,
eh? Oh, yeah, Leonard held it together for sure.
That was crazy. A lot going on in the sports world, you know. I think the reason that I've never had a chance to give NBA the due credit and respect and the chance to become a fan is because of a timing thing. When the NHL goes into the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's March Madness in the NBA. That's like, that's their college, I guess, stuff.
Yeah, well, they take up all the TV time they could possibly put on that.
And then, I mean, I'm a... quite frankly, sort of interrupt you there.
No.
By the way, big shout out. We got Mr. Shane Big Harper up in the room. All around good family guy. Goes to school, works hard, young cat. taking care of a kid and pressing forward optimistically in the future. And for myself, I'm just a bit of a pessimist who's slightly jaded and telling him not to shoot. His reach is too high. I'll probably get let down. Back to the game. I'm going to say that three-pointer in the previous series.
That three-pointer right there got me mad jazzed.
Right?
For like the next series coming up. When they made that three-pointer, I don't know how many different phones from a bunch of buddies that I go to school with were all showing me this shit every single time.
Amazing,
I had to sit there and pause and just watch that. The second bounce caught me off. I thought it was gonna go out the whole time.
Crazy
bounce. And
it
bounced back
ball.
In, hit the fucking hit the ring like two or
Cinderella
three times.
Story.
Oh yeah. From beginning to end. For sure on that one.
Big players coming up big when you need them to.
Yep, and the two players that were in that final shot was our biggest player and the other team's biggest player. I can't remember who we were playing that last series.
And again, guys, forgive us. We're not afraid to admit it. That shot, literally, I'd been following the series. I heard that Toronto was doing well. And I'm always around sports, and I love watching highlights. So I'd been following Toronto's progress, but I happened to have caught that live. And I was watching live. And in that moment, in that very moment, I became a fan of basketball. You know, my interest sparked. And it, what I was saying earlier to segue back earlier was that the NBA historically coincides with the NHL playoffs. And I grew up a white Canadian who plays hockey, right?
Oh, yeah. And you look at it, too. Toronto's the only Canadian team in the NBA. So they're, like, more or less an outcast. The only other, like...
But when the NBA's finals were on, so are the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
So
like,
over the years, I've never had a chance to get into basketball.
Yeah. What goes the same with any
sport? Raptors' success and all the hype behind it, it had me following a little closer.
Yeah.
And being tuned in at that shot in that moment.
Oh, that shot was fucking... It was key for a bunch of things. It definitely solidified the team and fucking in the next games. And
it made a fan out of me.
Oh, for sure.
By the way, for listeners right now, if Shane seems slightly disconnected from the conversation, he's over there scrolling on his phone. I have no idea.
Trying to find different shit to go off.
Trying to find a date.
There.
Ha. Swiping right, who knows? Okay, great game. Also, what about I caught that live, I was by myself. This game, I've watched most of that previous series, all of this series. This game, we were fortunate enough, we're kicking it. We have the projector set up and we had some friends come over and the boys that I have come over actually play ball all the time and are huge fans of the sports. And without wanting to sound off-colored, for lack of a better word, the homies that were coming over that watching the game with me were some of my black friends. And so there's me and Shane that have been talking about it, watching it, but just seeing the passion that people who have the point is that you know, follow the sport their whole lives, same way we follow hockey. It really was that last quarter was exciting.
Oh yeah, well that's the thing. It's a big difference between watching a game with people that don't normally watch a game and watching a game with people who more or less like know what they're talking about.
Right.
And like
the energy.
Sure.
And
getting back
world.
To that point with Leonard, you're saying Leonard was killing it near the end there. He actually came out of the game with 31 points.
That's the 11th playoff game, I believe.
Yeah.
So 11th playoff game with 30 points or more.
Yeah, so he's absolutely killing it. And you could definitely tell that near the end of the game. He was putting it down, putting it where it needed to be. Always looking fantastic.
That was an away game. And we saw quick flashes. They kept going back to pictures of the crowd and the concert.
Out in front of the Toronto Stadium there. I can't wait. That game Game six. Game six in Toronto is going to be absolutely key.
And now for, you know, you got to think game seven for me. Now, full disclosure, I'm thinking I want to head down to Toronto for the next game and be in that crowd and have that energy and have that great time. And I think I would rather do it for this upcoming game than a game seven, because I don't know if y'all know, but the T-Dot can get a little bit crazy sometimes.
Oh, I think that's the majority of why people come to fucking
win or lose.
Come to Canada. Majority of people think Toronto's our nation's capital, man.
I know.
It's definitely the place to be.
Win or lose, I could predict a riot.
Oh, it'll definitely be a good game for
the
game
next
six.
Game would be the safest one.
Because the next game would be the safest one, but it's going to be in Milwaukee, if that's what
it is. Oh, wait, Toronto's up 3-2.
We're up 3-2 going into game
six. So they could win.
They could win. If they win next game, that's it. They go on
to
the fucking...
But if they lose, they're still in the series.
Yeah, and they go back to Milwaukee.
So I think so if they win, yeah, people will be... There'll be a big party and it should be a good time. But if they lose, they're not out of the series yet.
No.
So I think that'll be safer in our...
But I honestly don't see Toronto losing at their home after they just came back on top with that fucking big win.
I mean, that third quarter was squirrely.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why there's fucking 15-minute quarters.
Is that what they are?
Yeah. But, definitely a tight game. When it came back out in the third quarter, that was getting intense. Laurie missing all those three-pointers. Just didn't seem like we had the ball there.
We're losing by double digits.
Long behold, well, again, it's all about the coaches. Changing it up on the fly, getting what needs to be done. And they did a good job finishing that up. For sure.
Crazy. Well, podcast episode one here at the Senseless and Scentless Lab. Kicking it with Harper Thompson, a.k.a.
Chain
Mac Daddy. And it's your boy, Big Sean, Big Shiz. You can call me Big Daddy. Check it out. That's 12 and a half minutes burned on basketball.
Oh, yeah. And Shane, a.k.a. the shit, is here to stay.
Yeah. Well, shit's a good word to describe him anyway.
I'm the shit, but it is the best word.
12, 13 minutes on the NBA. That's impressive. We're just here smoking some marijuana. Decided, you know what?
Enjoying some after-game combos.
I can do a fucking podcast. I got a lot to say.
Right. First time, spitting it out, seeing what's what. Who knows?
It's an interesting contrast. We got the younger, pretty boy, up and coming in life, Harper Thompson, and we got the old party dog, been around the block, seen it all, in your boy right here with all the wisdom. So check it out. Also, St. Louis Blues, moving forward.
Yeah.
Big game against San Jose.
I think that's possible.
Oh, like 5-1 or something. With San Jose. So check that out. Pull that up. So St. Louis and Boston going into the final. Boston. Now, Boston gets a few extra days off, right? Because.
Well, they only just finished it. So I'm pretty sure the next game, but I don't even know.
So when's game one? Apologize to the listener if you can hear me smoking. It's a marijuana cigarette.
Keeping it real in the 613. Canada's fucking finally on the green. Getting it done, making the money.
Legality.
So apparently we overhyped it.
What's that?
Apparently we like overhyped it. We had to get licenses and whatever to try and fucking be able to have the dispensary.
Oh, the lottery.
Yeah, but the lottery is fucking more or less kind of rigged. First of all, they picture...
It's over Ontario, too.
No, but they picked your name out of a hat. A month before, it was like, hey, at the end of the month, after you pick your hat, you already have to have a place established and working to our standards. Otherwise, we will fine you for not having it set up. Because you're supposed to, because you
last couple of years were like the Wild Wild West. Just random dispensaries. Popping up everywhere, remember it?
Oh, yeah. That was beauty. Like, for the first little while before it was even legalized and they had no real standards, it was fucking beauty. Walk into the market, into the store with $6, you can get a solid gram.
Hilarious.
More or less. It was fucking beauty.
That is funny.
And yeah, well, they were cracking down on some of them, but the whole thing was they would shoot out the court proceedings for so long until it became legalized. So, like, by the time it actually went to court, weed was legal and it was okay. That's what I heard from
quite a few people. Out.
Yeah. Or they put enough money on the side that if their place gets pinched, they have enough sitting on the side from the money they make to fucking pay for bail.
I noticed there's a lot of big names, like celebrities, investing in cannabis companies.
Well, yeah.
All
dude,
over Canada.
Dude, did you not know especially that already since Canada has become, like, legal, we're the top weed producer and distributor in the world already?
I think we probably have been doing, had that title all for a long time.
But we didn't on the fact that the majority of the weed that we produced was for medical use. We weren't producing it on a scale for recreational use. So, it's a, like I said, the second that we got on the scale of, hey, it's get anybody can buy it and whatnot, you get all the people that normally don't do it are now doing it just because they can, more or less. It's the same as smoking cigarettes or drinking alcohol. Now that you can do it and buy it anywhere, more people are going to do it, but on the same screen, people, you know, more or less on you or I lines, we're still going to get more people.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you have to say, but what I will say is, I think with legalization, when it comes to anything, and I'll bring up another point in a moment, but when it comes to legalizing something that's not hurting anybody, and it's long overdue.
It was long overdue, for sure.
It takes the legalization of it, I think, takes the taboo away from it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think a lot of kids, like, I remember being 15, 16, and, you know, we'd all meet up at the bench at lunch and smoke the weed. Like, it felt like we're doing something bad.
Yeah. And well, that's the thing. The main thing with parents is, well.
And I think, finish my point, sorry.
Yeah,
I think that the legalization of marijuana and taking away the taboos of it will actually, in time, for a future generation, decrease the number of users
of the harder shit.
Of marijuana in general, because I think it being taboo and you're not supposed to do it was why it was fun.
I also think that the whole, bringing the whole cannabis part of it too. Well, I'm a big environmentalist as well. So, like, for me, bringing the whole weed back as well, like, when hemp first came out, they didn't use it because it just wasn't making, I don't even understand why they didn't start using hemp right off the bat, but the amount of products you can create with hemp that you could create with anything else, but hemp at least, if you throw it in the fucking dump, it'll decompose after a certain amount of time. You know, it's not going to sit there forever, like plastics and like all the other shit. And we can create, you name the thing, we can create.
Absolutely.
Out
hemp.
Of
it's,
hemp.
It's sustainable.
Exactly.
The fibers are strong.
Exactly.
If my history is bad, Shane looked this up. I believe it was George Washington was a huge producer of hemp. Dating back to, you know, colonial times, and marijuana only started getting this bad rap from the times of Reefer Madness, when they would put out these propaganda about marijuana, and it was basically appointed as a racism thing, that black people became violent.
That's the thing. George Washington grew hemp, strictly hemp. Though.
Yeah, so that's what you were referring
to. It wasn't weed. It was
hemp. No, but you were saying that, you know, we should produce hemp.
Oh, yeah.
And what year was that? How long ago was that? I was right, though. It's Washington.
Yeah.
Right?
1760s. Washington considered whether hemp would be a more lucrative cash crop than tobacco. Determined wheat was a better option.
If only he knew, eh, how it was going to play out. But and to my point, 1700s, like, marijuana has a rich history.
Oh, marijuana
history.
Has been around for fucking ever. The whole thing, though, is that it was first found in the Himalayas, and that was the...
You were told about...
What do you mean?
Wait, so I've
watched... There was one docu-series on Netflix. I can't remember what the name of it was, but anyway, it talked about the originations of marijuana. So, yes,
the
one strand of marijuana was found in Afghanistan in the hotter regions, but there was a strand that was also found in the colder regions, in the Himalayas with the monks and shit.
Really?
And that was... the more hallucinogenic one was in the Himalayas up in the high mountains.
It
was a psychoactive. Your sativa, if I'm correct.
Sativa, indica. I'm old school, man. Like,
I can't remember. But anyway, whichever one was the sativa or the indica, I believe it's the sativa is the more...
Sleepy, indica, awake, and happy. Get shit done on indica.
Okay, so then it was the indica plant that they found up in the Himalayas. And they brought it back, plant, did whatever. The one thing that they said about marijuana... They said, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you say your plant is, because of the amount of crossbreeding and the amount of just, you know, fucking with the plant and trying to get the best of this or the best of that from all the crossbreeding. It's like, there's no plant that doesn't have both. But right now in the world, as far as my knowledge, there's no strict sativa or strict indica plant. They were separate plants.
Well, there's hybrids, right? They exist, but...
From the documentary I watched, he said everything you smoke is a hybrid. There are no original clones of the original plants that came back around the times of then, when it first came back overseas or from wherever, and it came back to England and U.S. and these different parts.
Well, I want to take a moment right here, Shane, and remind the listeners here at the Senseless and Scentless podcast to take our actual podcast name very literally. These are what we call bro science and bro facts. Take a minute and look that up. What's that? Because we're going to say a lot of things, and some of them are opinions, and some of them might be talking about our ass. So just keep in mind. Conversation about marijuana, the one thing that you had my attention with there is I never thought to think well, that's an oxymoron, where marijuana first originated from. That was a question I've never asked. So I am curious.
I have looked it up before.
I am curious.
It did come, me and a buddy were actually walking home, and we got into this discussion too.
I tried to find the name of that documentary so people can check that out.
A Netflix documentary series that was on Netflix.
Let's start with the marijuana origin. Where did marijuana actually originate from? I want to see what Google says. We've heard what you have to say.
Origination.
This would be a good time if we had a sponsor that we would insert the sponsor. So right now I'm having a cold Old Milwaukee, and I gotta say, wow, Old Milwaukee. You're okay.
Cannabis use cannabis use originated thousands of years ago in Asia and has found its way into regions of the world.
So Asia?
Asia,
that's very vague, right? Asia's like... India,
familiar
China.
Subspecies of the cannabis plant. Cannabis sativa, known as marijuana, has psychoactives. Sativa is psychoactive.
Where in Asia, where?
Second species is indica. It still doesn't say. Okay, cannabis plants are believed to have evolved on steppes in Central Asia, specifically the regions that are now Mongolia, and southern Siberia.
Siberia and Mongolia.
So that's Himalayas. Burned cannabis seeds have been found as far back as 3000 BC.
Now, this is going to sound ignorant, and again, reflecting on the name of this podcast, I don't have a great understanding of AD, BC, at least not biblical terms.
BC is before Christ?
Yeah, they're
and
biblical.
BCE, before the common era, so it's like before today's day and age.
BC is before Christ, right?
Yes.
And what's AD?
After the death of Christ.
Are you sure that's
right? Yes. I'm 100% sure I went to Christian school. AD is after death, but then BCE is before the common era. So BC endues everything AD and BC.
Isn't it kind of strange that we use biblical references in mathematical equations?
In what way do we use biblical references?
Wait, that's fucked up. So 300 BC it said, or whatever?
Yeah.
Whatever it said.
Before Christ.
Before Christ.
3000 BC, BC before the common era.
That's how long marijuana's been around.
Well, that's the longest trace that we can carbon date back to say that this was burnt at this time. Yes, we've
got dates. More or less. So my next question is, then, and excuse me for my ignorance, how long ago was Christ? 7,000 years?
Well, this would be 3,000 years behind the year zero when we started our calendar.
So this would be
5,000 and whatever years.
No, well, we're at 2019.
Exactly. It would be 5,019 years. It's 3,000 BCE.
Oh, the for marijuana, you mean?
Yeah.
So wait, but our calendar at zero, that's Christ? Is that right?
Basically, yeah.
I think I need to Google. Why do I not know this type of shit? Zero is what? When Christ died? When he was born? I don't think that's right. That sounds right. But they didn't have a calendar before that?
BCE before Common Era and BC before Christ mean the same thing. To previous year CE, so yeah. Basically, the death of Christ was the start of...
That doesn't say that that's the start of our calendar.
Yeah. Look, and then it says the same... BCE before Common Era and BC before Christ mean the same thing. Previous to year 1... CE, common era. This is the same as the year AD 1. Oh, it actually means something different. Anno Domini. The later means in year of the Lord.
Often translated so year, as in the year 0 and 1, that's when Christ died?
0 doesn't exist. It just starts
at 1. That's when he was born? That's when he died?
Yes.
Okay, so Christ died at 1. Marijuana has hypothetically been around 3,000 years before that.
Well, no, it's before.
So what the fuck is?
In all honesty, they have recordings of us basically so far being
us.
Human beings as a species. I don't even want to try and guess. I want. Close to 100,000 years, but I don't think it's that far old.
Dude, you know what's crazy? Big shout out JRE, Joe Rogan Experience Podcast. There's evidence of other species of humans.
Oh yeah, 50,000 years right here.
From what?
This is a new one found in Africa.
What is
human
this?
Fossil, part of an upper jaw, reveals our species began 50,000 years earlier than we thought before.
Yes, but what I'm saying, there was other species of humans.
Yeah, there were Neanderthals, there were Anthro.
But they existed, they coincided.
But they didn't at the same time.
No, because there's proof of interbreeding.
Okay.
Now, this is
that.
New.
I did not know that. That's fucking cool.
Joe Rogan.
It does make sense, though. From my understanding, it was basically, well, it's the same. It's the main thing that aggravates me so much with people, not everybody, obviously, but the majority of people, like, if we all just looked at each other, like, just another spiral off. Basically, we're literally living in the same thing as like the Neanderthals and all them did 50,000 years ago, whatever. The only difference is we all more or less look more the same now, but we're just different colors. We have different whatever to our skin. I feel like the only thing that differentiates me from the boys that were here before and me is that his culture and his family grew up in a part where that's how his family evolved and became where he was.
We've all been fucking each other, so we're blending.
But yeah, like, I'm what they call the fucking Heinz 57. I'm a mixture of fucking almost every race there is to be mixed. I'm Irish, Dutch, Scottish, German, like Native, French, Canadian.
323 and this other one for you get your DNA tested.
Oh, Ancestry.
Ancestry, and then there's another one, too. And they can tell you exact percentages, apparently.
Yeah, and where you came from, everything. Especially if they have documentation from the country. Like, because I know England is really good at keeping documentation of, like, every human being and shit like that. So, like, they could pinpoint which family you're related to in that country. But again, on another share of Joe Rogan, his podcast, another one I watched of his, he was saying how they basically have all your information now. And they share and sell it. Well, the Ancestry.com, all the different places that take your DNA
tests,
they then have your DNA and they have whatever.
Yeah, that's interesting, right?
Because the
government can just say, give it to me.
Well,
right? And
man, I've had mad fucking things with that.
Well, how about this? You know, it's fucking weird. What nobody talks about. Yeah, I mean, I heard it on the Rogan podcast, but I had already noticed this previous to seeing it on the Rogan podcast. If I'm, like, talking about, like, anything, getting a new car or something, or whatever, I'll start getting ads for that.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about it, okay? Not searching.
Because every single device, I don't care what people say.
Just talk about it.
It's listening to you. Any device, if you can talk into it as a phone, at any point in time it can be turned on. If you look at your restrictions when you download an app or you download this, you download that. If you look at the restrictions on it, half of them ask you for permission to access your fucking voice, your microphone, your this or that.
Yeah, look, I just
every single app does that.
And if you, and it's like, it needs access to my mic.
In my mind, if you're stupid enough to not believe that they know and all everybody in charge of their whole knowledge, their whole thing, and is to know what all of us as consumers, the people that actually work for these big companies and do everything, basically our entire economy, we're all workers. We have a very few rich people to take control of shit. We work to make the products that we consume. And then they try and charge us more and more and more and more money. And then you see our governments do this stupid shit.
I'm guilty. When you take a step away from yourself for a second and you actually look, I'm like, I realize, like, I'm a consumer on such a level that I literally have to be doing something, entertained in some way, on some level, constantly. Whether it be, you know, a cold drink in my hand, or unfortunately a cigarette, which I really would like to quit soon, or, you know, rolling a joint, or scrolling through an app, you know, staring at my phone for long periods of time, zoning out, not even realizing why the fuck am I staring at my phone, and I'm waking up and I'm listening to all this introspective, brilliant people telling me to not stare at my phone right until I go to bed and to put it down a couple hours prior, to spend time,
in life,
reflecting, you know, and doing things that are just for you, right? You
know, that's a big, I found that's a big problem with today's society.
Looking at porn as a form of consumption.
Oh, right? For sure, bud.
Is just satisfying that quick fix thing?
Well, if you ever, have you ever looked at the origination of the television
addiction
was?
Addiction is essential.
Have you ever looked at what the origination of the television was?
The origination, right?
Like, kind of where it came from and the reason behind it?
Is that a word, origination?
It may or may not be. If it's not, well, I made the word. But anyway, a television was created to basically, like, keep you involved in it, keep you consumed by it.
I mean, I don't know, but that sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Well, it's not that it may or may not be
created.
It wasn't
you.
It wasn't created. Maybe or maybe it wasn't. But in reality, it does keep kids engaged. It, like, you can sit a kid in front of a goddamn TV for fucking 7-8 hours on a TV, and they ain't gonna say shit. But like,
nonsense MTV, right?
But like, again, it comes with technology. When you can now basically do, watch, and say whatever you want. On a damn phone.
Well, that's the thing, right? With
and you
want
to be engaged and this and that. With me, it's my whole thing with
opinions with, are like assholes.
Well, not,
everybody's
no, but
got
like
one.
My whole thing with everything now is just for me, it's depression, and I see it all the time with fucking, you know, on this and that. How this is like taking away from the actual human interaction, which is what I base my life on, and I've not only deleted every app as far as Snapchat, Insta, this and that. I've deleted it like 5 or 6 times over. And it's all just because, like, I see everybody else doing all these other things, and I don't feel fulfilled. Like,
isn't it funny that way too? Because you're getting these little snapshots, right,
of everybody's
lives.
Perfect life.
You're getting
the snapshots.
It's
not the reality. It's not the reality.
Of their like most exciting moments,
but it's not the reality.
Everybody's posting them. We've seen these snapshots of what on the outside looks like a perfect life. In reality, those same people are going home, arguing, have problems, so forth and so on. To me, social media, what really catches me is like how people get upset when they get trolled or they read comments and they get upset that people talk. Like, I don't know if it's maybe I'm too much of a Neanderthal or whatever, but you can't affect my mood from a stranger that I'm never going to see typing something awful about me or whatever. I don't know.
Well, sometimes it can get pretty fucking brutal. You get one person going and then it's trans on.
You see, like, you know, teenagers, young people, so affected by social media comments that they'll commit suicide. They're not even their peers, though, right? They're not people that they have to face.
No, but that's the thing, though. It's not only are they facing it with their peers, they're facing it online as well. So it's like every outlet that they feel that they have, they fucking.
These people are.
In my mind,
I'm never going to see in real life.
No, but it's.
Impact their life.
But when you're at that age, like, man, I went through it too, dude. Social media was kind of just coming up and this and that. I wasn't really into it.
People from your school or that'd be, obviously.
But that's the thing, though. The majority of the people that are getting trolled online, that's their outlet. And then their outlet turns to fucking nothing, right? Their little bit of something that they thought they had, they end up getting trolled and they get fucking really upset about it. Again, I don't believe in ever taking my life yet.
Plug it in because I was just about to get you to Google this. August Ames. Are you familiar with the name? Now, people that may be listening to this podcast probably know who August Ames is. She's an adult actress. Okay. Rest her soul. A beautiful girl. And
no way, you're saying she died?
She was the victim of being bullied online. She had made a comment. I forget the exact story. Shane's going to look it up here, guys. She had made an off-colored comment. Just like August Ames suicide. I'm trying to find the details. Sorry, I hate the microphone over there. She had made a comment about not wanting to do a scene with another gay male, and it was taken out of context, and she was, there was a witch hunt about her being a homophobe, this is all on Twitter, by the way. And she actually committed suicide from social media pressure. Famous adult film star, by the way. And you know what's creepy too, a little bit off point here, and I don't mean to be so crude, but her videos are still available on Pornhub, and I can't bring myself to watch them. Right? Isn't it weird?
Because you know the person. You would schism between the gay and straight community.
Would you be able to watch that a video of her?
I didn't even know she died.
Okay, but I mean, if you knew, like, you couldn't get off watching that, right?
Not now that I know she's fucking dead.
Exactly. Like, I feel like they should pull her videos down.
That's kind of... Man, it happened over a year ago. It happened in December.
Yeah. So what are the facts?
Well, just...
Does it say the story?
600,000 Twitter followers in 2015. Doesn't really say very much.
Doesn't mention... Well, basically, she was bullied.
Online, calling her the most kind-hearted person ever in beautiful life. So, on December 3rd, a few days before death, Ames tweeted, "Whichever lady in brackets performer is replacing me tomorrow for Erotica X News. You're shooting with a guy who has shot gay porn, just to let you know. BS is all I can say. Do agents really not care about who they're representing? I do my homework for my body."
And so, the point of that tweet she was just saying is, she's looking after herself. You can't just switch up the actor, and this person had done homosexual scenes, and she doesn't want to be exposed to HIV because the scene was going to have no condom. And it ended up creating a shitstorm of people accusing her of being homophobic, which led to her suicide.
Yeah.
I think like, social media is just crazy.
Well, fucking, it puts a lot of voices on, for the most part, voices that wouldn't be there otherwise. You know what I mean? Like, you do put your life out there. That's the one thing with social media, right? Like, that's what you're looking for, is that attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're looking for that attention. You're looking for that extra, and that's what adds to the, you know, it's kind of what you're looking for. In the same sense, like, you gotta take it with a grain of salt. And the other thing, like, if it wasn't for social media, you'd only be telling or talking about these things within, like, a small group of maybe 10 or 12 people. And, you know, people might have comments and stuff, but at least you get to see them physically, and you get to, like, interact and, like, explain
comments. And you know what's great about that? Think about before social media also. There might have been 1,000 idiots before social media walking around thinking the earth is flat, but there was no way for them to talk to each other. Now social media, internet, it
brought them everybody all together.
These fucking psychos
and whatever.
Flat earth, and there'll be endless things about
That's retarded.
So you could, people, you can trick yourself into believing it.
That blows me off. How people can even believe that there's a flat earth when it's like, man, if you look through a fucking telescope, why is every other planet round and ours is just magically a flat one, and we magically created a dome around it that's so big that it creates its own atmosphere and whatever. Funny. I've looked at videos on them creating basically another Earth-like structure, but more like a rotating fucking disc-like thing in our atmosphere, and they said the only way we could even comprehend building something like that... The materials on Earth alone would not be near enough. We'd have to,
I think they think it's a disc like thing that has a crust around the outside, like polar ice or whatever.
But if we were like every other thing that tried to hit the Earth, like an asteroid, is basically what they're saying we are. We're a flat asteroid floating through space.
Ridiculous thing.
It absolutely makes no sense at all.
You can do a simple experiment. A simple experiment. Like, literally, the curvature of the Earth, the reason why you see a boat disappear into the horizon...
It's because it's so big is because it's curving.
You know? It's really, like, grade school.
But that's the thing. They always say every time you look at a video, or like, the reason why it's like that is because your camera has a... You know, it's not a
CGI image,
or it's like your camera takes it always takes panoramic kind of view.
You can watch a ship sailing through the distance.
Oh, and it slowly goes over, exactly. Yeah. Well, and for the longest time, fucking people assumed that that was the thing.
There's a million examples.
But, like, in reality,
literally grade school.
How can you say that when people can literally just continue to go east and arrive in China and Russia? Right there kind of explains it all. You can't say we're on a fucking, flat earth fucking thing.
You know what's crazy too? Like, when I hear like celebrities talking about it, I think it was an NBA player who believes in flat earth. Shaq came out and said he believed in flat earth and then took it back immediately because of the media pressure.
Yeah.
And like,
it's just bullshit. How can you believe in something that we have not?
Every other planet is round on ours, isn't it?
That's the thing. How can you say that when we have the amount of pictures and evidence we have of our Earth being around? Like, I don't give a fuck who
you are. Eddie Bravo will tell you, look it up, bro. That's all CGI. But you know what's fucking hilarious? I bet you it's all the people that are fucking tired of looking for Bigfoot and gave up on aliens. This is they're the same wackos that we're looking for.
I don't know. I follow a bunch of different shit. If there's one thing I am sort of kind of getting on to the concept of believing, is like, hey, if you really think we're alone, you're just as dumb as fucking everybody else. I don't know, man. Because, like, in reality, think about it. If you're another species on another planet, and all your other species are kind of evolved, you have a deal, you know what's what, why would you even want to fuck with the species who's literally about to more or less kill themselves right
now? Yeah, blow each other.
We're about to literally, just on global warming alone, we're going to fucking literally destroy ourselves. Why would you not just want to see what's going to happen and what's going to fucking... In my mind, I feel like we are not the only ones in the universe. If you could even possibly think that, you're fucked. The amount of stars you see on a fucking really dark night is the amount of different solar systems within our galaxy.
Neil deGrasse Tyson will tell you the new science is showing the idea of a multiverse.
I completely agree.
And the idea that something doesn't exist somewhere would be impossible. There's life somewhere on some other galaxy, some other planet.
Well, it's like The Simpsons Simpsons episode where Homer or Bart falls through the thing behind their fucking
Google this. We're gonna end this at the 50-minute mark. Thanks everybody for tuning in to the Senseless and Scentless podcast with Big Shane Harper and your boy Sean C, aka the coolest. What I wanted you to look at is Google a picture of space junk, because for anything to even enter our solar system and come even, it would be almost...
We have a shit ton of space junk floating around.
Well, once this picture, it's going to blow your mind. There's a video of it, there's pictures, you'll see exactly how much shit is around our Earth.
It's a shit ton.
You see it? Explain to the listener. Play that video. Do you see all that?
It's absolutely ridiculous. Literally looks like... But the whole thing is, anything that's going to hit Earth, it's just going to go right through all that.
Well, that space junk's in our atmosphere.
I know, but it's not in our atmosphere. It's in our gravitational pull at the correct distance.
It's a danger of hitting us. I'm saying, it's every time we take off and go out there... It's calculated to...
The nearest fucking
space junk.
Because of all the space junk. I completely agree.
There's a lot of reasons why.
But, like, the whole thing is, I feel like we need to clean up the oceans and get rid of all that plastic shit. I've seen mad videos of people using the plastic shit to fucking make everything that we could need, stereos, you name it, the name is...
You know what? I had a paper straw the other night at the UFC. Big shout out.
Oh, they break down.
To Donald Cowboy Cerrone, by the way. Beautiful win over Ally Quinta. Checked it out in Ottawa. I had a paper straw. Okay, at the UFC. It was shit.
You gotta get like 3 or 4. If you wanna drink it at the same drink all night, you gotta have like 3 or 4.
It ruined my beverage experience.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I want turtles to die or seagulls. Well, I definitely want to.
But that's what I'm saying. If we made every piece of plastic, no matter what it's being made for, no matter what the plastic's being made for, if we just made it to be reusable, where we could melt it down and make something else.
That's what we do.
No, we don't. The majority of plastics that are made today are single use. If you start to try and break it down again, it burns. It doesn't melt. It just burns.
The world.
All I'm saying is we need to make shit.
Make it a better place.
Make it a better place. We have so much garbage. Just start going through it. Start going through it. Getting the proper methane out of our shit that's burning off. Everybody knows that the amount of methane that burns through shit is ridiculous.
If you care enough for the living, make a better place for me and for you. All right, everybody, check it out. Hit us up. That's the first one in the bank. Sound quality is going to be absolutely terrible. We shot this through an earphone mic. I'm curious. Play it back and see what we even got. Shane, thanks for joining me.
Cheers,
as always. Peace. See you next week.